Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Woo. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Resurrection message today. It's going to be a little weird, a little different than what maybe some of you were expecting, but I'm glad you came expecting for something. Amen. Now, I have over here, some of you might have a cereal bowl this big. I don't know. All right. How many cereal breakfast cereal lovers? I was gonna say cereal lovers, and I'm like, wait a minute, breakfast cereal lovers. Just to point out something. How many of you love cereal? Raise your hand. You eat cereal even if it's not in the morning. Raise your hand. All right, a lot of cereal lovers. Okay, can you go ahead and slide one, Joe? I'm not sure, but Shannon and Josiah, they love to eat cereal. They can eat cereal if they're awake at 3 in the morning and their belly says, I want cereal. They'll have some cereal. And so any favorites? When he puts it up there, we'll see some examples. But any favorites, just shout out your favorite cereal. Fruit Loops, what? Frosted Flakes. Now, see, I love Frosted Flakes. Reese Puffs. Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Look, all I'm getting is the young people. Old people, come on. You know you want some cereal. You know you like cereal. Okay? Okay, all this side loves cereal. All that side, you're probably in Purina or Cream of Wheat or whatever, right? Captain Crunch. Okay. All right. I said Purina. I meant Furina. It's F, right? Purina's dog food. Purina's dog food. There we go. What a service so far. Hey, Joe, if you don't mind, you don't have. Okay. All right. So breakfast cereal, something about breakfast. Now, listen, if you really want breakfast and you wake up in the morning, I'm not sure this has happened to you, but you pour your cereal in the bowl, but you come to find out this is all the milk you have left. This is all the milk you have left. It's less than a quarter of a cup. If you really want cereal, this is what you'll do. You'll go ahead and get your flip-flops on. You'll go ahead and maybe pull out your rollers out of your hair, ladies. And you'll get your car keys and your wallet and you'll go to the nearest store and buy cereal. Some of you are like, I'm not getting out of the house looking like this. So you know what you might do? You might get coffee creamer. How many have ever used coffee creamer or half and half? You had this much milk, but you realize you got a lot of half and half in your fridge. So you know what you do? You mix them. But what if you don't have half and half? What if you don't have coffee creamer? How many of you use water? Raise your hand. Now, I've heard. Now, the Lord has blessed our home growing up. We never had to add water. But I've heard people adding water to their cereal. And I'm thinking, man, they really want some cereal. I heard a wise man tell me this. People will do what people want to do. People will do what people want to do. And if you really want cereal, 5 a.m., you'll go ahead and go to the gas station, the one that's open, Flash Foods, and you'll go buy a gallon of milk that, you know, that $5 because it's at the gas station. They raise it up because they know, you're going to run out one day and you're going to come to me. I'm going to jack up that price of milk, $5. Okay, so this is the idea. If you really want cereal, though, you'll do whatever it takes to get cereal. You'll do whatever it takes to. Now, this is weird. I'm opening up Easter Resurrection Sunday service. We're talking about cereal. But it's not about the cereal. It's about your desire of how bad you want it and what are you willing to do to get it, to actually have it. Now, for those of you, ladies that have been pregnant, you've had that sudden urge. You know, you probably kicked your husband out of the bed and say, go get me pickles and ice cream or some strange combination, you know, peanut butter and sardines or whatever. Something that you really wanted. And if that man of yours was smart enough, he'd grab his keys, grab his flip-flops, go out and get it for you. Now, any of you have ever had a strong desire, when you put the effort into it, you'll go get it. Am I right? You'll go buy it. Am I right? You'll sacrifice some things. Well, the kids are going to have peanut butter and jelly. I'm going to go buy me a pair of shoes. I mean, you sacrificed some things because you really wanted something and you went to go get it. You went there. I'm not sure how many of you actually had to, you know, scratch the bottom of the barrel of the piggy bank to actually go on a getaway because you really wanted to. And you know what? You made some sacrifices. Well, this and this. Well, you know what? I'm just not going to pay it right now. Or right now, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to spend money on that. I'm going to save it and I'm going to actually go there. People do what people want to do. Last week, I posted on Facebook, what else needs to happen for you to surrender and follow Jesus as King? Because really, seriously, again, people are going to do what people want to do. And I'm not putting a guilt trip. And again, I'm mentioning tonight's service. But you know what? Tonight's service, I have matured in my faith. Thank God. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. But I've matured my faith that for those that don't show up, you're not hurting me. You're not going to hurt my feelings. You're going to miss out, but you're not going to hurt my feelings. Like Janine was talking about. I mean, if we took the time to spend time with God, to hear his voice, guess who misses out if you don't do that? You. That's right. You miss out. You miss out on a close relationship with God. You miss out on what God can say to you that'll speak volumes and it'll reverberate. It'll just go echo in your mind, echo all week long. And it will help you for whatever is going to come your way, whatever you're going to face. Difficult. Yes, it's difficult, but I really want it. So you know what? I'm going to get it. A lot of times it's kind of, you know, a little humorous when I look at my children and they're saving money and, you know, they find pennies and, ooh, you know, they'll go underneath in the couch cushion and they'll grab pennies and they'll do that. And this last couple months ago, one of my kids, and it really touched me. Because it wasn't money so that they can go ahead and buy a new Pokemon card deck set or whatever. It wasn't so they can buy some kind of a video game. It was so that they can give to missions. Amen. But they were scraping. You know, they'll do what they want to do. People will do what people want to do. Now, I asked the Lord to remind me of this and to give me peace if he wanted me to mention this. Last week, we had a guest speaker come. And I just want to throw this out there. Whenever we have guest speakers come, we have special services where we don't have many of them, you know, throughout the year. We try to spread it out and you know, just spread it out because we got kids and we know you got kids and you have busy lives. But when we establish a time for prayer, a time for special services, can I encourage you with this? And hopefully the Holy Spirit will bring it back to your remembrance in the next couple of months or whatever. It's for your benefit to draw close to God with us. It's so that you can be equipped. Our job as pastors is to equip the church for the ministry of the work of God that God has for your life. And when we have these services, it's for your benefit. It's for your benefit to equip you that whatever God's saying through that man or woman of God, that God has given us the peace to say, hey, you could preach behind our pulpit. Because this is very important. We have a responsibility that whoever stands behind this pulpit is God ordained and God is giving us the peace to say, hey, you know what? They're okay with me. You can go ahead and have them preach. Because what they're going to say is coming from God and it's going to equip all of us. So the next time we have something, whatever's on your schedule, do your best to just scrap it. Just put it to the side and say, God, I'm going to seek you. I'm going to draw close to you. God, I want to join together with the body of believers so that you can equip me with your word. Amen. All right. So that was a little, no animosity, no hurt feelings. I'm past that. So let's go to John chapter 11, verse 20. This is where I was like, Lord, this would be a great place to start. And I'm not sure, but, you know, Lord, the Lord was leading me. So if we really want breakfast cereal, we'll go to the store at a.m. We'll use coffee creamer. We'll use water. Or we'll just say, forget about it. I'm not having cereal. I don't want it that bad. I'm not going to the store. I'm not using coffee creamer. And I'm definitely not using water. That's something that I would probably say. I'm definitely not using water. But if we desire for something that you really want, you put enough effort, you'll go get it. You'll go buy it and you'll go there. So John chapter 11, verse 20. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went to go meet him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Mary said to him, oh, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He's talking to Martha. And Martha replies, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. God, I pray your Holy Spirit gives us a revelation this morning. God, I thank you that we could celebrate Resurrection Sunday. God, I thank you that we can celebrate victory in Jesus over sin, death, and the grave. God, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me move this out of the way real quick. Hope you like my poster. Woo-hoo! This is supposed to represent the veil. In the temple, God's people were to erect a temple, and there was to be a veil. The veil was to separate people from God. People had to be on that side. God's holiness, and it was called the Holy of Holies, was right here. Because of our sin, because death had conquered everyone, and because death was ruling, we have this veil, okay? So I have sin, death, the grace, that you can keep reading that and you'll keep seeing that, okay? But one of the things that I want to talk about today, and if I can get two students to sit over here, that'd be awesome. Let's try that real quick. Ready? Victory! All right. It doesn't matter if you make noise or not. All right, so let's try it again. Victory! All right, okay. Okay, so God spoke to me earlier this week, and he had shared something that at first I was like, Lord, you really want me to share this or not? And I prayed about it, and the Lord's really wanting me to share this. And I want you to understand, he's speaking to me as well. And it's not just something I get to go ahead and say to you guys, but it's something that it has to be spoken to all of us. And I feel like the Lord said, what I paid for your souls and for your salvation was too high for you to just be satisfied for a one-hour celebration. I already had 1 hour celebration close to it. What I paid for your souls and for your salvation was too high for you to just be satisfied for a weekly celebration. Coming to church one time a week. What I paid for your souls and for your salvation was too high for you to only have a daily life celebration. Every day of our life, we are to celebrate the victory that we have in Jesus. Because it was, no, yes, victory we have in Jesus, good. The victory we have in Jesus is important that we understand that in every day of our lives. You see, sometimes we fall into a little sinkhole, into a little a pit of despair maybe. And we forget about who the God is, who the God that we serve, and what he has done for us. We believe in God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, but somehow we have these thoughts that Martha thought. This thought that, well, God can do something, but not now. He could do it later. Let's go back to John chapter 11. Martha says this. Now, I want us to understand her emotion as she says this, because I don't believe she's saying, Lord, if you've only been here, my brother would not have died. I believe there is emotion because back home people are crying and mourning. Lord, if you had only been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. My brother wouldn't have died. What is she saying there? She's saying that if Jesus got there before he died, he wouldn't have died. That if Jesus would have been there while he was sick, before Lazarus breathed his last breath, Lazarus, they wouldn't be crying. Lazarus would be up and walking around, fully healed, completely healed. What is she saying? That Jesus had the ability to heal Lazarus, but oh, what? Hold up. He's dead, so you can't do nothing right now. But let's look at what Jesus says. The Lord, but even now, she says, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Somehow she says, but you know what, Jesus? Because you weren't here, my brothers did. But you know what? Even whatever you ask God the Father, he'll give it you. And I'm thinking, well, if she has that mindset, why is she? There should be excitement. Somehow she believes that Jesus is the one who could have healed Lazarus so that he wouldn't have died. But now he's the one that he can ask God whatever and God will give it to him. So why is she mourning? Why isn't there an excitement? Why is there, Jesus, I'm glad you're here. It's never too late. Lord, come to the tomb where you can raise my brother back to life. But notice what she says. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. She's not thinking right now. She's thinking in the future because she says, oh, yeah, I know Jesus. He's going to rise from the dead at the last day in the resurrection. And Jesus says, hold up. Wait a minute. I am the resurrection and life. He can rise up right now today. Somehow we have these thoughts that, you know what? We'll say we know God, but do you really know him? She said, oh, I know that whatever you ask the Father, he'll give you. And then let's look a little bit farther. She says, she said to him in verse 27, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's come into the world. So she's saying she believes that Jesus is all this, but yet she's still mourning and that she ended up saying, if you only would have been here earlier, my brother wouldn't have died. Whoa, hold up. Isn't this the Jesus that you're saying that whatever he asks God the Father, God will do? And the fact that he is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's come into this world, but yet somehow he can't help you right now? A lot of times believers, Christians, are in this bucket, in this pit of despair because they forget who Jesus really is. Oh, Jesus can help me later on, but he really can't help me in this situation. So let me try to fix it. Oh, isn't that what we do? That's what I was trying to do last week. I was trying to plan certain things when Atlanta School of Ministry came, and I couldn't. It was out of my hands. I had to say, God, you know, God, you know how I really like to plan things. God, you know how I really like to, you know, A and B and C, but I can't do that. Chill. I got it under control, Rick. Chill. It doesn't have to be that way. And a lot of times we get like that. We got to put our hands to the mixing bowl and start, you know, doing something to the mix. Because you know what, God, it's not fast enough. You're not working fast enough. God, you're not answering right now. And yet, Martha, she says that she knows the Lord. We believe in God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. But somehow, sometimes our thoughts aren't really believing that Jesus can do something right here, right now. Last week, the Lord's Prayer was mentioned a few times. And I started thinking last week, you know, as a little kid, Catholic boy who was an altar boy, I'm not sure any of you have ever been to a Catholic mass, but whenever the priest lifts up the Eucharist, you know, the big wafer, there's an altar boy on the side and he rings a bell. He rings a bell to signify this is the body of Christ and he's presenting it to everybody. I was that altar boy. I knew the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I knew that. But even though knowing that for many years, you know what the Lord was reminding me? So many years you knew that, Rick, it was up here, but you didn't live for the purpose of my kingdom to be lived out on this earth through you. You did not live with the effort that my will would come down and be done on this earth through you. So you know what? We can know a lot of things, but if we're not walking with him, like Jenny was saying, hand in hand, what's up, Jesus? How you doing? If we're not living our life like that, what point is what we know about him? Because if we really know about him, then we will walk with him. Then we'll get to know him. Then whatever situation, we can look to him and not the situation. And Martha, even though she knew Jesus, you know what she's looking at? My brother's dead. My brother's dead. He's gone. Jesus, if you just would have been here, my brother's dead. For the last couple of weeks, a friend of mine, his name is Pastor Clint Harris, pastor of Patterson Assembly of God. He's been on life support for the last couple of, for a week and a half now. I think it's a ventilator. He's been on a ventilator. And I've been praying, preparing for this. And I've, and, you know, and just yesterday, about 5 o'clock, I said, Lord, you don't even have to wait till tomorrow because I know that you could do it today. And I began to speak in Jesus' name. Clint Harris, your body no longer has infection. Clint Harris, your lungs are breathing to full capacity. Clint Harris, there is strength rising in your body. There is healing happening right now in your body. Lord, you don't have to do it tomorrow so that everybody can say, oh, that was an Easter resurrection miracle. God, you can do that miracle today. And all week long, for the last few weeks, we've been praying. A slew of people have been praying and agreeing with what God's word says. I believe that God can do something here and now, full of God's spirit, boldness, and power, that victory, that you can walk in the victory. Yes, you can walk in the victory that we have only in Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus Christ. Some of you need to allow the truth to sink in a little bit deeper. I have the power because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus is my Savior. I have power over sin, death, and the grave. Yeah, I have victory. Yes, I have victory. Now listen, a few days ago, well, it wasn't a few days ago because it was over 2,000 years ago, but a few days ago on a certain Friday, Jesus paid the ultimate price, the atonement. How many of you ever heard the word atonement and then no one ever gave you the definition of it? Okay, the atonement is reconciling for an offense, for our sins. Jesus paid the ultimate price. With the fullness of God's love for mankind, God provided the perfect sacrifice, and it is Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10. By that will we have been sanctified. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Everyone say once and for all. Because it doesn't happen every year. It happened once and for all. And every priest stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God from the time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, Jesus has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Amen. Hey, Caleb, can I get you to come over here real quick? Hold that side. We're just going to kind of cover this here right here. What the priests would do every time that people would bring sacrifices, the animal would be killed. And you know what it did? It just covered the people. It just covered their sins. It didn't cleanse them. It didn't make them whole, white as snow. The blood from that animal only covered their sin. But when Jesus came, man, it's awesome. When Jesus came, let's get, thank you. When Jesus came, all of our sin was paid for on that day, on Good Friday. On that day, Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate price, once and for all. So with this, what is your response for what he did for you? What is your response? Well, I don't know. I guess I'm here at church. Okay, that's a good start. You're here at church. Well, I don't know what else. What are you doing? What is your life portraying in response for what Jesus has done for you? You see, your response is vital. Now, I know that we are not saved by works because none of us can work at getting into heaven. We get to heaven because of Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Amen. All right. So we get to heaven because of Jesus. But your response for what he has done is vital. You want to know why? Because if you don't repent, you don't receive, you don't believe in Jesus, guess what? You don't go to heaven. Plain and simple, right? That's simple. The simplicity of the gospel right there. You don't repent, you don't receive, you don't believe, you don't go to heaven. Your response is also a description of your thankfulness and love and faith for the new life that Jesus gives. Because you know what? I'm going to walk in it. Because you know what? My attitude's going to be altered by it. You know what? My mouth is going to, what I say is going to be changed because I'm walking with him in the newness of life, that he's changed my life. Since October 1994, my life is endeavoring. It's still going forward with Jesus. I'm not going back. How many of you want to go back? Go back to, you know, where did my money go? I went out last night. I got paid. Where'd my money go? I mean, how many of you want to go back to those regrets and live in them? I don't. I don't even like that I have those regrets. But I got Jesus now, and I'm walking with him in a newness of life. And you know what? I may not get it right, you know, today at 4 p.m., but you know what? At 4:01, I'm supposed to drop my knee. Or maybe not drop a knee, just keep walking and saying, oh, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have tried to run that person off the road. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Just a couple of days ago, Shannon and I, we had a, you know, a drag out fight. I mean, she slapped me and I picked her up and body slammed her. No, I didn't, Mom. I didn't. But how many of you husbands and wives, you would like to take back some things, some words, you know? We've never done it. We've never done it. But, you know, you might want to take back a plate or two. You know, I'm not saying you threw it at your spouse, but you might have thrown something at because of, you know, whatever. Anyway, this is not a marriage service. So, but your response is vital. Many people have fallen into a pit of mediocre Christianity. Life has changed on that day that I gave my life to Jesus, but it is not changing daily. Uh-oh, that's a problem. If you can remember the day you gave your life to Jesus Christ, but every day since then, there's not a daily change or a desire to change. Warning, warning. Warning, Will Robinson. You guys remember that one? Those of you that are older? Yeah, I'm a little old. All right, so many people have fallen into that pit of mediocre Christianity. You repented, you were forgiven, and you're no longer in bondage to sin. We got victory. All right. But not getting closer to Jesus in relationship either. Oh man, that's a problem. Why is that a problem? Why is it a problem if we don't get closer in our relationship with Jesus Christ? You know what the problem is? I still look like me. I don't look like him. In my relationship with Jesus, I'm supposed to look like him. Man, it's hard. I'm supposed to have patience like him. You know what happened when Jesus got the news that Lazarus was dead? Guess what Jesus didn't do? Become frazzled. Oh, I got to go. Hey, everybody, pack things up. We got to go. He didn't do that. He was patient because he knew what was going to happen. He knew what he was able to do. He knew what the Father was capable of doing. Why rush? Man, I wish some of you would stop having this mentality. I'm not praying for patience. You need to pray for patience so you can become more like Christ. But the more we have a relationship with him, the more we get close to him, the more we look like him, the more we sound like him, the more we respond, the more we act. And let me throw this in there. The more we react like him. How did Jesus react to a lot of things? I mean, just the other day, we were watching with the kids the Bible movie, and we were watching the part when he was arrested. He had been wrongfully accused, and he's either, you know, handcuffed or tied up or whatever, and he's standing in front of Pilate. And as Pilate asks him the question, you go ahead and search this. But when Pilate asked him questions about the truth, Jesus answered. When it had nothing to do about, you know, false things, he didn't really answer. But he answered the things that were mentioned to him that were truth. Are you the king? He says, you said it. You said it. The more we spend time with him, the more we look like him. Let's go to John chapter 11, verses 1. A certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany. Now we're just going to go up a little bit, a couple of scriptures, just to kind of get you guys who this Lazarus is. The town of Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her, whose brother was Lazarus and he was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, now listen to the message. He got a little text message or a little, you know, a mail that came in. You got mail. Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Underline, he whom you love is sick. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Jesus knew what's going on. He's not going to die.
or this sickness isn't unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sisters and Lazarus. Now, verse 5 is not thrown in there just to go ahead and create space. Verse 5 is to, again, remind us, because the response of Jesus not quickly going to Lazarus's aid is not because Jesus has something against Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. The last time that Jesus went to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus's house, they didn't feed him well. The food was burnt, or they hurt his feelings. Kind of like what we do sometimes when people hurt our feelings. What do? We end up ignoring them. We end up saying things back to them. Right, Shannon? All right. So, yeah. I'm kidding. No, I didn't. Mom, I seriously didn't pick her up and body slam her. But you know, we say things. We do things to certain people who have hurt us. We close up. We do that. This isn't what Jesus did. So if you've done this, guess what? You need to spend more time with Jesus so that you can look like Jesus, sound like Jesus, act like Jesus, react like Jesus. But it says, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, whom Jesus loved. The letter already said, he whom you love is sick. To give us this picture, Jesus loves them. And the fact that he didn't run over there right away doesn't mean that he had anything against them. God's timing. Now listen, God's timing is not always pleasurable. It's not what we're looking for. It's always our time. It's our time. God, listen, we need to learn that God's timing is best. It's the best time. Jesus wasn't frazzled. He knew that Lazarus was, he knew something was wrong with Lazarus, but it wasn't unto death where, you know what, Jesus can't do anything anymore. Actually, Jesus actually said that he was sleeping. Verse 6, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Now listen, if you received a text from me that I was on Interstate 95 and I'm calling you for help because you have a wrecker and my car is broke down on the side of the road over near Daytona, and I called you to come pick me up and you waited 2 days to come pick me up, I would think I did something to you. I would think something's wrong if you didn't come to my aid right away. Hey, what are you doing? None, just sitting here watching the game. Hey, I'm stuck. I'm right off of Daytona, right on Interstate 95. Can you come pick me up? Yeah, sure, I'll be there. Click. 2 days later, you come get me. Something happened. I hope you're going to say, hey, I broke down too. I had to get a wrecker to get me so I can come get you. But he said that he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, listen to what he said to his disciples. Let's go again to Judea. Let's drop down to verse 11. He says, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. And his disciples aren't understanding what he's saying. He's talking this, you know, Jesus lingo. And he says, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. Let him sleep. Leave him alone. Let him sleep. Let him rest. Jesus, however, spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about just taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, no, Lazarus is dead. Dead as a doornail. Let's go. We got to go save him. We got to go save him. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Oh, can it be that sometimes when we pray and we ask God and God doesn't answer right away, and our patience, you know, we're done tapping our toes and, you know, we're just done, you know, doing whatever we do as a, you know, just a, you know, a glitch in our body because, we're just so impatient. Could it very well be that we're supposed to be learning something during that time? How many of you, and I'm not sure if you'll honestly answer this, but by raising your hand, how many of you actually believed at one time that God had it out for you? You actually thought that God wasn't responding because he had something against you, because you did something. Listen, when we get to the point that God's going to do for us because of what we do is the moment that we get in the blurry vision of God. Because God's going to do what God's going to do at his time because it's his best time and he knows what's best for us. I got a long list of things that I've been praying and asking God for a long time. And it hasn't come yet. It hasn't happened. And what people normally do, because they don't know him, they say they know them, but they don't know him, they clench their fists. God, when are you going to let this happen? God, when are you going to bring this? God, and they totally miss out on learning what God is trying to teach them. Maybe you're not supposed to have it. You know what? I won't know till I'm in his presence. Maybe I'll find out when I actually get it. I don't know.
but I know what he's said to me. I know what he's spoken to me. I know what he's revealed to me. And so I'm going to keep thanking him. I'm going to keep saying, Lord, today would be a great day. But you know what? Thank you, Lord. You know what the difficult thing is too? Because the Old Testament saints had this. They lived this. God spoke to them. They believed it. And they waited. They waited. And some of them didn't even see the full answer. Abraham didn't see all of his children as far as the stars, as many as the stars are in the sky. He didn't see all of that, but he believed as soon as God said it. And the word says that it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Man, if God speaks to us and reveals some things to us and we allow them to fall by the wayside, we allow to forget them because he hasn't answered right now. God is wanting to resurrect, bring that stuff back and say, will you believe me again? Will you seek after me? Listen, some of you did actually get out of bed or did get out of the house at 7 a.m. to go get milk because you really wanted cereal. Will you really walk with me? Will you really trust me as I bring what I've spoken to you before and I say, I'm still going to do it. Will you still trust me? Will you still seek and endeavor for what God has for you? You did it for the bowl of cereal or whatever the need was. Whatever you really wanted, again, people will do whatever they want to do. John chapter 11, verse 25, it says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Oh, yeah, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's come into the world. And then when Jesus, when Mary came to Jesus, what did Mary say? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. The same thing. Mary and Martha are thinking the same thing. Lord Jesus, if you just would have been here, Lazarus would have. I mean, they knew Jesus. They knew who he was. But yet Jesus can't help him right now. How sad is that? I mean, just think about it. We know that Jesus, we were just singing these songs. Jesus is our victory. All right. And some of you are like sleeping. He's our victory. But listen, we know this to be true, but yet we can walk out of this building like countless numbers of people all around the world, leaving God's house the same and not fully expecting and rejoicing for what Christ can do for them today. Oh, well, Pastor, he'll do it, you know, a couple years from now. He'll do it when I get my act straight. He can do it now if you'll get your faith straight. He claims that he's the resurrection, the life. And I'm thinking, Lord, this was kind of bold because you hadn't even died yet and resurrected yet and given life. But Lord Jesus, you're saying that you are the resurrection and the life. Yes, I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says. We need to know more of him, don't we? You might say, well, I know him. I'm good to go. You know, none of us in here are good to go that we don't need to know more of him. We all need to know more of him, regardless of where you're at spiritually in your walk with God, or you don't have or you don't have a walk with God. If you don't, man, you need to really know him because he paid a great high price for your soul, for your salvation, that you are to surrender your life and live a daily life of celebration. Not just 1 hour. We're already past an hour. Some of you probably already done. Hey, I'm done. Close it up right now, Pastor. I'm good. But yet, if it's really something that you really want, I know I'm making fun of the bowl of cereal, but no, regardless of what it is, you'll really strive to get what you really want and what God has for you. You'll strive less. Then do you really know the high price that was paid for your soul and for your salvation? Do you think you know? Maybe could it possibly be that we are just in the same boat as Mary and Martha, that we say we know him? Oh, Jesus, yes, you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who's come into the world. But yet Jesus can't be the one that can do what he can do right here, right now, and save us. And deliver us and redeem us. One of the things that happens, we don't have time, but Matthew chapter 27. And this is why I have this. Because on the day that Jesus was on the cross, he breathed his last and he said, it is finished. This is what happened to the veil. You see, again, the veil, nobody on that side could come on this side because the glory and the holiness of God was on this side. Only the priest who was supposed to make sure that he was okay and offer a sacrifice that didn't cleanse his sin, just cover his sin. He was the only one able to come over here to the mercy seat. But you know what happened when Jesus said, it is finished? The veil
of which a historian, Josephus, says the veil was 4 inches thick. And it was roughly from 50 to 60 feet high in the temple. It was torn from top to bottom. It was torn. Victory. Victory in Jesus.
It was torn. Those of you that have that, read the directions. Get ready, okay? Yeah, read the directions real quick. You guys have done this before. All right, it was torn. Now listen, this is very important. I know this is poster board, but it is very important because at one time, when you had no access to God, you had no right coming too close to God because of your sin. When Jesus died and said, "It is finished," Jesus says, "You got full right to come to Dad now. You have full access. Oh, the path has been created. The way to God has been created. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life where you can have new life. Because the veil was torn, we have access to Dad. We have access to Dad. Ready? Ready? Confetti? Victory! Come on, twist it. Yes! Victory! We have victory. Victory in Jesus. We have this victory. And listen, I would love for all of us to clap and cheer till it's time for us to go to bed. All day long. While we're driving, that'll look really weird. While you're driving, clapping and cheering. Why would Pastor ask you to continue your cheer even after this? You want to know why? Because the celebration for what Jesus has done, the high price that was paid for your soul, for your salvation, as the Lord God has spoken to all of us, is not just for you to be satisfied with 1 hour celebration, to be satisfied with one day of celebration, but that you'll say, "God, every day, I will choose to celebrate. God, help me to remember, but I will choose to celebrate every day that I have victory in Jesus."